And good evening, good morning, good afternoon, whatever the case may be. This is Mike, and this is my audio blog, I believe number 7 in that series. Welcome. And I'm on the road. Of course, I've been on the road a lot lately with the part-time courier gig. This morning, it's Saturday, July 28th right now. And I don't know, it's about 9 in the morning. I've been up since about 4:30. last night I had to pick up a package at the airport in Traverse City and had to bring it over to the former Wurtsmith Air Force Base in Oscoda, Michigan, across the state from where I live in Traverse City. And it was really interesting going back to that base. I hadn't been on that base since I was active duty nearly 20 years ago. Actually, it was probably over 20 years since I'd been on that base. It's been closed now for 19 years, so. But it was interesting. So I got to go over there. I got to actually drive right out on the flight line and deliver the airplane part. It's now a aircraft maintenance facility. They do maintenance on airliners and such, and there's a whole big row of 747s parked out there. That was kind of cool. And I actually got parked right next to a 767 that was undergoing some sort of maintenance. But it was kind of interesting. You could definitely tell it still had that Air Force Base vibe. But, of course, it's all now, you know, civilian. You know, the base housing has all been sold off as individual houses. All the barracks buildings look like they've been turned into senior condos. And of course, the flight line now is all civilian and airline maintenance facility. They don't actually fly airlines out of there, I don't think. I didn't see an actual terminal building, but I could have missed that. But it was kind of neat to see that they've reused that base in a way that actually helps the community. You know, when they close an Air Force base, it really, or any military installation, it can really have a bad effect on how you know, the local community, on their economic base. I mean, you know, when, you know, it's usually 3,000 or 4,000, maybe 6,000 people stationed at an air base, and they close the air base, and voila, that's, you know, a big chunk of the economy if it's a small town like Oscoda. Well, actually, in the 19 years that base has been closed, they've actually grown their population and their economic base over there, and it's been really good for the local economy and business in general. So, like I said, it was good to see that. I had driven past it about a month ago, and it was kind of cool, like I said, to see all the aircraft parked out there, all these old airliners and cargo jets. There was a, right near where I was, there was a whole line of former Northwest Cargo 747s, which would have probably been Flying Tigers in a former life. So I remember seeing a bunch of those up in Minneapolis one time at the airport, and when they were Flying Tigers, but it just got bought by Northwest Airlines. Of course, now Northwest Airlines has been merged into Delta. And hey, this is, by the way, warning, this is going to be a airport and aviation related episode here, because I've spent a little bit too much time at airports the last, well, probably 3 weeks. Anyway, it's been kind of nice, or different, not nice. I have some definitely strong opinions about some of the airlines. I can definitely tell you that of the three airlines that I deal with on a regular basis, American Airlines seems to be the best for cargo. Now, I'm not talking about flying with them, but picking up and or delivering cargo to them, American seems to be the one that has it together the most. At Traverse City Airport, we have Delta, United, and American. And actually, all three are subsidiaries of those three. It's actually Delta Connection, American Eagle, and United Express. But they're all, you know, wholly owned subsidiaries of the airlines. You know, like I said, they do actually have, I think, a couple Delta flights that are truly Delta and not Delta or Delta Connection. But anyway, that's beside the point. But with this courier job, I've done a lot of picking up cargo somewhere and delivering it to the airport to be shipped out, or picking up cargo at the airport and then going delivering it somewhere. You know, a lot of hospital stuff. Can't really go into details, but suffice it to say, you know, sometimes there's stuff that comes or goes to the hospital that needs to go out same day, and that's what I've been doing. And airplane parts, that's another big market, I guess. Well, this is the first airplane part run I've done with the company so far. And a lot of computer parts, like, you know, I won't mention company names, but large computer manufacturers that deal in enterprise and also large networking hardware companies tend to, you know, ship emergency parts. And generally when that happens, I pick them up at the airport. But, you know, it's vastly different, especially at a small airport like Traverse City. You know, they've got four gates, you know, and it's not like a huge airport. You know, the whole terminal building is probably the length of a football field, and then the actual gate area where, you know, if you had to go through security to get to the four gates there, that's probably also about the length of a football field the other direction. So it's not a big place, and the airlines don't staff it like they do, you know, at a larger airport. I also have to deal with the Grand Rapids Airport, Gerald R. Ford International Airport in Grand Rapids, and they, you know, they get to staff theirs a lot more because, of course, it's a much busier place and all that. But here in Traverse City, the ticket agent that checks your bag when you are going to fly is also probably the same person that's going to board you at the gate. And then if you look out the window, there's probably the same person that's loading the baggage and pulling the chocks and pushing the airplane back out of the parking spot so you can take off. You know, literally, sometimes they have a crew of two or three total, handling incoming and outgoing flights, plus handling the counter, plus handling cargo, plus baggage, plus everything. So a lot of people get a little upset. A lot of the passengers seem to get upset because, you know, I spend a fair amount of time standing in line at the counter waiting for these overtaxed employees to get to me, which, like I said, I completely understand, and it doesn't really bother me. But, you know, it's amazing to watch some of the reactions of the people there, you know, the passengers. Like, where are they? And I know, I don't know how many times I've had to explain to them that, hey, there's only two or three people here for the airline. And, you know, they're doing the best they can. And it's amazing how some of them keep a good attitude. You know, that's what I'm trying to do, is, you know, keep a good attitude. Yeah, it sucks standing around the airport waiting. And, you know, a lot of the time I'm on a really tight time constraint, but, you know, I have to understand, and I do understand where they're coming from and why it's a problem, you know, that they can't always be everywhere at once. But I have to say, American just goes out of their way. What I do when I have to pick something up off of incoming flight is I'll go there about a half hour before the flight, go up to the counter, and usually half hour before a flight, there's somebody right there at the counter because they don't have an airplane to deal with. And I'll say, hey, I've got some cargo coming in. You know, when you get it off the plane, I'll just be hanging around out here. Just make sure they know I've got a box coming in. And that helps a lot. Of course, they'll find the box, but, you know, if they don't know the person, then, you always treat them nice. But American will, bust their butt, the people there, all of them that I've dealt with, bust their butt to, they get the cargo off and get it up to the counter as quick as they can because they know that I'm on a time constraint. And generally, if they're shipping it by air like that, it's a pretty hot cargo. It's generally just little boxes, And if you don't know, I'm just driving my little Subaru wagon for this courier job. So I'm not driving, like some big cargo van or something and getting really big pieces. It's like this box I hauled today. It was probably, 2 feet by a foot. And if it weighed 6 pounds, that was, that's about all it was. It might have been a little more than that, but it was just this little dinky box. Or not little dinky, but, cargo, anyway. And then I had to haul it 160 miles across state and drive back 160 miles. But it's all right. Pays good, and I enjoy driving. Since I've been doing all this driving, I've definitely been keeping up on podcast listening, as a side note. But some of the other airlines that I deal with, I'd say, out of the three that I deal with, the worst is United. And it seems that they have the most employees at that particular airport that don't keep a good attitude. I'm not going to disparage them. I can understand. It would, probably that job probably sucks, It's good to have a job, but I can imagine that job sucks, having people bitch at you all day. And that's, I think what's happening. But they got a couple people over there that are, top notch. And same thing with Delta. There's a couple of grumpy ones, and majority of them are pretty good. One morning I had to get up at 4:30 in the morning to get over there for a 5 o'clock arrival in the morning, and I don't generally mind that as long as I know ahead of time. But anyway, they canceled the flight, and that happens, especially from Chicago or Detroit when they've got weather down there or airplane brakes or something. Who knows? But they canceled that 5 o'clock flight, and of course my cargo got shifted to the 8:30 flight coming in from the same place, and that was fine. I understood, and no big deal. So I go back home. I'm only just around the corner from the airport. Go back home, wait for the other plane to come in. Or no, was it? Okay, I got that backwards. I was shipping one out. And I asked, can't you just take this now for the next flight? Because I had switched it to the next flight. And says, no, we're too busy. You come back at 7. All right. So I came back at 7, and I stood there at the cargo counter, which is right next to the ticketing counter. And they completely ignored me until about 15 minutes before the flight. And then they start working on it. And they say, well, if you wanted to get it on this flight, you would have had to been here at 7 o'clock. I said, dude, I was standing right here at 7 o'clock. So it happens. And get out of there till almost 9. Of course, the airplane got delayed anyway, so I don't know. But I just didn't understand when they weren't busy at that point in the morning. They could have just taken it and held it for the next flight, but not how they do it, apparently. And then to berate me because I should have been there earlier if I wanted to get it on that flight. Well, dude, I was staying here at 4:30. How much earlier do you want? Or whatever it was. Anyway. Oh. Yeah, my GPS is telling me to turn right here. Just about to go on to I-75 here at West Branch, Michigan. Incidentally, since I'm doing a lot of traveling, it might be mildly interesting to see where I'm going. I, of course, got my tracking at mikedell.com. Click track me. And there's a Google map there that will show you where I'm going and where I've been for the last few hours, or where I was last when I had the tracking turned on. Those of you that know me, that's through APRS, Automatic Position Reporting System, which is a ham radio thing. So my call sign's N7LMJ, and when I'm in the car, it's N7LMJ-9 on the map. And of course, you can also go to APRS.fi or findyou.org, I think, and look up that call sign and see where I am. But yeah, I showed that to the dispatch people at the courier company, and they just love that. Because a lot of these hot package deliveries, especially with the computer companies, they want a halfway report, or the or they'll call and say, hey, where's your guy? And then they have to call me and say, where am I at? And I'm exempt from that because I just turn on my tracking and they look at it and they can just tell them, yeah, he's right here. And that works out pretty good. Although I don't know if that's the proper use for that, but it keeps me from talking on the phone nearly as much as some of the other guys probably have to do. And let's see, another news. I was on the first episode of the Podcasters Roundtable. I think that's at the podcastersroundtable.com, or you can find it through Ray Ortega's site. What is his site? Podcasterstudio.com. There we go. And I'm also going to be a guest on Podcaster Studio at some point. Coming up soon. Pimping my new podcast about podcasting. Which, against my better judgment, I'm starting another one. But as I explained, I think I explained this before, maybe not on this show. Or this audio blog, that podcasting's all about passion, and or just audio blogging, and I'm passionate about podcasting. If you've listened to me on any number of other shows that I've done over the years, I tend to talk about podcasting a lot. So I thought, why not do a show about podcasting? It seems to be a popular thing lately. Several guys are doing it. Of course, Cliff Ravenscraft, Podcast Answer Man, Dave Jackson, School of Podcasting, Daniel Lewis, the Audacity to Podcast, Ray Ortega, Podcaster Studio, and I think there's a few more that I'm probably missing. But everybody's got their own take on things and kind of their own specialty, and mine seems to be the technical side of it. As far as what equipment to buy, what how to set it up, how to do the software, what's the best way to set up a website, how to deal with PowerPress, or whether or not to do FeedBurner. Okay, I got to maneuver here to the on-ramp to I-75. Yeah, that's one thing, too. I want to do it says dead end. Maybe I went down the wrong road. Oh, well. See, that's what happens when I'm talking instead of driving. This looked like a on-ramp, but isn't. It's the next one. So I'll just make a UE here. But yeah, it's another thing. I want to do a review on GPS units. because I've got an old Tom Tom 1. It's not like super old, but you know, 3-4 years old, 5 years old maybe. And I gotta say, it's letting me down sometimes. So, and then of course I got my Android phone, which has the Google Nav, which is better in a lot of respects, but not perfect. And I think I'm gonna buy a Garmin Nuvi, I think is the next one I'll try. I'll borrow my mom's first and see how that goes, and then if I like it, I'll buy one. But anyway, what was I talking about? Oh yeah, the podcast about podcasting. So I had tried that actually briefly. They did that one for a very short time. So You Want to podcast.com, but that was ill-conceived and not well thought out. This one will be definitely more well thought out and pre-planned a little bit. In fact, I've already got the outline of the first several episodes written out, and I've recorded show zero. Of course, in show zero, I explain why I have a show zero and why, if you're going to start a podcast, you should have a show zero. And anyway, that'll officially start right around the 1st of August, and it'll be a weekly, probably 30 to 45 minute long podcast, generally on one topic. Probably have a little bit of podcasting news and then go into the topic of the day, and also encourage people to ask me questions, and then I can spend time answering questions, which would be good, I guess. So we'll see. So look for that. That's over at podcastingtechcoach.com. It's podcastingtechcoach.com, and I got a few other iterations of that domain name all sort of pointing at that site, but I plan on doing the, you know, some how-to videos, which will be posted at the site, probably not podcasted. I come to the conclusion that video podcasts are a little too expensive to host properly, and so why do that? I can host it for free on YouTube or Vimeo. Not sure which one I'm going to go with. Probably both, but primarily one or the other. YouTube's good for Google Juice, being it's the number two search engine behind Google and owned by Google. So it would make sense to at least put those on YouTube standalone, and then like maybe on the website I'll embed a Vimeo or something. I don't know. We'll see. But that'll come along. And then, you know, I do plan on also putting posts, you know, extensive, you know, tutorial-type posts on the site, probably answering questions that I get. And I think that'll be kind of cool. And that'll also help with my consulting. Along with this courier gig, I've also been doing a fair amount of consulting, podcast-related consulting. I've become part of a referral network for just such consulting. Plus, you know, do the work with Raw Voice Blueberry, and that also helps. And so, you know, between that and this courier gig, I'm getting along just fine. My wife also is making a career transition. She'll be starting middle of August at a new property. Of course, she is in the hospitality industry, which is pretty big around Traverse City, but she's going to be the assistant general manager of two properties, two chain hotels. I don't want to go into details on that either, but right now she's working at a a full service resort, and she's switching gears and going into management of a couple of properties and marketing, getting her into the social media world, and so I'll be helping along with that too. But the outfit she's going to is locally owned. It's a franchise of two chain hotels, basically across the street from each other, and be an interesting challenge. And it's local owner instead of a corporate thing, and I think she'll be much happier. Of course, she wasn't unhappy with what she was doing. It was just she wanted a change of pace, and I can't blame her. I've enjoyed my change of pace for the last year, so it's her turn. And just clicking along, living life. Had kind of a string of visitors to the house this summer. It's been, pretty much every weekend there's somebody up from somewhere. This weekend, Kathy's sister from Seattle, and also a friend from Grand Haven are both up, and the friend from Grand Haven's doing a little side work at where Kathy works, and she come up to do that, and the sister, that's a whole long story. Well, maybe I'll have Kathy on at some point and tell the story of this sister that she just first met Tuesday. So I'll leave that as a cliffhanger for a future episode. But I've met my new-to-me sister-in-law who we didn't know existed. And our half-sister, I guess, Kathy. Let's see, what else has been happening? Not really a whole lot. Like I said, been busy with the courier gig, and I'm really enjoying it. It's kind of strange that I'm having this issue in my head, and I'm sure it's just in my head, that, okay, I'm courier driver, independent contractor, owner-operator, whatever they want to call it. I think owner-operator is a little, I own a car, Well, so does most everybody else. No big deal. I'm just using it to make a little money. But I find it strangely fulfilling. Some of the stuff I've hauled, it helps people. I feel like I'm doing something. Yeah, it's not super hard, but to deal with the airlines and all the TSA regulations and paperwork and airline regulations and paperwork and all that for shipping and receiving air cargo, that was a fair bit of learning curve there, and I'm still learning. So you can't be a total dutz to do the job, but the thing is I kind of also, like I said, it's in my head. I also kind of think, you're just a courier, that's nothing, blah, blah, blah. But then again, it's obvious something that's needed. And it's a whole nother world of transportation that you just don't even think about. But, somebody does it. How do you think, all these businesses that, these large businesses that get just tons of mail, literally tons of mail, well, who deals with that? Yeah, the post office at some point quits delivering mail to those big businesses. Post office, once you get above a certain volume, what they do is they sort it, and then they have you come and pick it up at the dock at the post office at an assigned time. Well, most of these companies don't want to hire somebody to do that. So what they do, they hire a courier to pick up the mail every day. And I do that one day a week. There's a particular route that I run, and it's kind of neat. I go to there's three post offices in Traverse City. There's one sorting facility and two branches of the post office, two different zip codes. And, you know, I'll be at the dock. I'm supposed to be there at 7:20 a.m. on my assigned day. And two different postal workers come out and with a big tub of mail, or a big cart full of mail. And I sort out, you know, this tub goes to this business, these two tubs go to the other business, and so on, and pretty much fills up the back of my little wagon here. And then I run a route. I, you know, go to several larger businesses around Traverse City. And then when I'm all empty of mail, I go back to the post office at another time and pick up another load to go to, you know, two or three other businesses. And then I go yet to a third time to the other branch and pick up yet another tub of mail for one particular business. So, you know, it's like 4 hours in the morning, and it's an assigned route. It's really, it's actually kind of neat. Like I said, I wish I could get it out of my head that this is some sort of lower class job, but it's not. You know, it's, you know, and I guess no job is really a lower class job, but, you know, this is just something from years of being in skilled labor, I guess you'd call it, as a graphic artist or graphic arts professional, or, you know, whatever other names they called us over the years. But it's just one of those things, and I gotta get over that. And it's only a part-time gig, and it's something I enjoy doing. Like I said, I enjoy driving, and I see where it really helps people. For instance, I picked up a computer part at the airport, delivered it 3.5 hours away, and when I got to the particular big box store, all the employees were standing out front smoking and whatever. And it was like 95 degrees outside, and their air conditioner was down. I don't know what a computer part or server part, I guess it would be more accurately, but some sort of technical thing caused their air conditioning not to work along with all their cash registers. Now, I wouldn't think that a big box store, and you'd really be amused if I told you which one it was, but I'm not going to. But really surprised that some little part could cause both the air conditioning and the cash registers to go down and them not to be open for business. I found that humorous on one point, but hey, you know, every hour that store's down, you know, they're paying all these people to stand around, smoke cigarettes and all that, and not that they should be doing that, but you know, there's really nothing else they could be doing. Because, you know, their job is to help customers and sell. And like I said, I showed up with that part, and they were all real happy to see me. You know, and same with some of the medical stuff. You know, I've picked up medical things that were marked human tissue for transplant. Well, there's somebody somewhere waiting for that tissue to get cured of something, hopefully. And so, you know, like I said, it's important behind the scenes work that, like I said, I don't take any particular pride, but I also don't want to look down on it. So anyway, I guess I've rambled along long enough. According to the GPS, I'll be home about 11:30 a.m. And that'll be good, because I'm going to be joining the morning tech show over at Geek News Central around noon. So that'll give me time to grab something to eat and get down and get online for that. Todd's doing a hangout a Google Hangout today for the for that show. So look for that a little bit later, well, probably tonight or tomorrow. Well, I'll probably have this out after I record that. And, of course, I got another Geek of the North ready to go. That'll be coming out either later today or tomorrow on Sunday. So look for it beginning of the week. And I hope everything's going good for you. If you want to comment on anything, you can leave a comment right there on mikedell.com or email me or whatever. I'm around. I'm debating whether to put this voicemail thing on the website. I may or may not. I do have it over at the Podcasting Tech Coach site. And so far nobody's used it. But hey, if you want to leave me a comment over there, just hit that. If you got a mic connected to your computer, which most of them have them built in now, you can utilize that little feature that pops out from the side. kind of curious to see how that works. So anyway, with that, have a good one. This is Mike from Interstate 75 in the Subaru Studios. Catch me later.